Chapter 24. Tim woke to the smell of sweat and urine that was not his own. He had a splitting headache, and the sun was shining right in his face. Why was he outside? Why was he upside down? Why was he moving? All of those questions were answered with a long, wet fart.
God damn it, Cooper! Let go of me!
Tim kicked his legs, freeing himself from Cooper's grip and consequently allowing gravity to slam his head into the road.
Dude, said Cooper, are you okay?
No, I'm not fucking okay!
Tim rubbed the stinging pain in his head to a dull but still excruciating ache. He looked at his fingers. There wasn't any blood on them.
I would have let you down gently if you'd asked before you started kicking.
I'm sorry, said Tim. I was too busy choking on fart.
Hey, I didn't ask to carry your sorry drunk ass.
Tim looked up and down the road. Nothing but road and trees in either direction.
Where the hell are we?
Cooper shrugged.
Somewhere south of Cardinia.
Did we pass the horseman's house yet?
No,
said Cooper.
I was too exhausted to keep going, so we spent a few hours sleeping in a tree. We haven't traveled very far at all.
Tim stood up.
Well, let's keep moving. It still smells like fart around here.
He started walking. The pavement was warm on his feet. It must have been close to noon.
Do you have anything to drink?
I've got the decanter of endless water.
Cooper paused mid-step to squeeze out a little more fart. Tim shook his head.
That's not the only endless decanter you've got.
You've been turning into quite a little asshole these days. You think it's fun to go through every day with zero bowel control? Do you know what it's like to have rash from your taint all the way down to your knees?
Tim cringed, forcing himself not to look at Cooper's legs.
All right, enough already. I'm sorry I said anything, okay?
You know what?
Said Cooper.
Fuck you're sorry. It's not okay. You act like your problems are the only ones that matter. You're not even fun to drink with anymore. I spent an hour last night listening to you bitch and moan because the girl you like doesn't spend every waking moment of her life fantasizing about your tiny dick. I don't—
Shut up, said Tim. What the hell happened here?
Just around the bend in the road, two white horses stood in front of an overturned wagon.
Shit,
said Cooper.
What could have pushed a wagon over like that?
He squinted at the forest.
You think an owlbear could have done that?
No way. Those things are vicious. The fact that those horses are still alive is evidence enough to rule out owlbears.
Cooper laughed.
And Julian.
Stay here. I'm going to go check it out.
Tim unsheathed his dagger, slid the blade down his left shirt sleeve, and concealed the hilt in his palm. He walked in slow, even steps so as not to spook the horses. From inside the wagon came grunting and the rattling of chains. That didn't sound good. They might be better off just leaving this one alone. He was so focused on the sounds coming from the wagon, he neglected to watch where he was stepping and accidentally kicked something metallic and jingly. As he looked down to find a ring of keys, all sounds from within the wagon stopped. Fuck. The wagon's rear door swung open sideways. The wagon lay on its side, meaning that the door was actually meant to lower down to form a ramp like on a Jawa sandcrawler. A man poked his head out, looked at Tim, then down at the keys, which he seemed much more interested in.
You there! Fetch me those keys at once.
His presence given away, Tim waved for Cooper to come over.
I wonder if you've seen any of my friends walking along this road, said Tim. Two elves, a dwarf, and a very attractive human woman.
Are you deaf, runt? Or just dim-witted? I just gave you an order.
And I asked you a question.
The man raised his eyebrows.
Surely you jest. It will be a pleasant day in the frozen wastelands of Trabahar when Captain Cornelius Reynolds bargains for the obedience of a halfling.
Trabahar? Asked Tim. Isn't that the Spanish word for to work?
I don't remember,
said Cooper, who just caught up to him.
All I remember from Spanish class is sacapuntas.
Tim pretended not to notice the chained man's growing frustration.
Oh, that's a good one. What is that, like a bag of whores?
Cooper snorted.
Nah. It only sounds dirty. It means pencil sharpener.
Will one of you two cretins stop blathering and fetch me those keys?
Who the fuck is this guy?
Asked Cooper. Tim shrugged.
I don't know. I think his name is Cornholius or something. He wants me to unchain him, but he's kind of an asshole.
Careful,
said Cooper.
Whoever put him in chains did it for a reason. He could be dangerous.
You unchain us this instant, said Captain Reynolds, or you'll find out just how dangerous we can be.
Us?
Tim kept his distance, circling the back of the wagon to get a better look inside.
There's more than one of you in there?
One other soldier sat in the wagon, his chin resting in his palms and his elbows resting on his knees. From the bored and listless expression on his face, Tim guessed that Captain Reynolds was this man's superior officer, and it was the captain's ranting and raving that had gotten both of them into their current predicament and was now keeping them from getting out of it. But he dared not suggest a more diplomatic approach. Tim gave him a little wave.
"What's up?"
"This is your last warning," said Captain Reynolds. "You will fetch me those keys right now, or else once I'm free, I'll hunt you down like the dogs you..."
With a rustling of chains, both soldiers' arms suddenly jerked to the left. Both men were pulled to the hole in the roof of the wagon as Cooper came around the other side with a fistful of chains and broken gears. Tim pushed the wagon's door out wider, then cleared his throat.
"I'm going to ask you one more time."
He started unlacing his pants.
"Your answer will determine how soaked with halfling piss you get."
Cooper pulled up the front of his loincloth.
"And half-orc piss."
"You wouldn't dare!"
The expression on Captain Reynolds' face suggested he knew otherwise. Tim was impressed at the captain's dedication to continuing to be a stubborn piece of shit. He didn't want to have to urinate on a fellow human being, but he needed information. A simple yes or no shouldn't be too high a price to pay to not be drenched in urine. Tim enunciated every word carefully and clearly.
"Have you seen my friends?"
Captain Reynolds' face trembled with rage and fear.
"Do you know who you're talking to? I am one of the king's own soldiers. Urinating on me is the same as urinating on the king himself."
Tim winced.
"Dude, not in the mouth."
Cooper's stream was strong enough to strip the bark off a tree, but Tim didn't appreciate the sheer volume produced until he saw it flowing back out of a man's open mouth. By now, Tim really had to pee. Since Cooper had gotten things rolling, he supposed there was no point in not making good on his threat. He aimed high and was soon hosing down the captain's shiny breastplate.
"The gods have mercy!"
cried Captain Reynolds, moving his head around to avoid Cooper's stream, which was following his mouth.
"I'll have your heads for this!"
"I've never done this before,"
said Cooper.
"I always thought my first time would be more, I don't know, erotic."
Tim was all tapped out before long. He traded longevity for power and accuracy, but Cooper was still going strong. It was going to come down to Cooper's fortitude check against the captain's willpower check. Unfortunately, the captain's stubbornness prevailed as Cooper's stream wilted lower and lower until he shook off the last few drops and lowered his loincloth. Captain Reynolds may have won the battle, but it was a Pyrrhic victory for sure. A man can only be but so proud of himself while crying and kneeling in a puddle of half-orc piss. Tim had one more idea that just might crack the fucker.
"Cooper,"
he said, rubbing his fingertips together.
"I seem to have dripped a bit of pee on my fingers. Might you have anything on you with which I could wash my hands?"
"Sure,"
said Cooper.
"Look in my bag."
He dropped his fur and filth-covered bag on the ground with his free hand. Tim pushed aside all the scroll cases containing their character sheets, which he'd forgotten were in there, and pulled out the decanter of endless water. He pulled out the stopper and let the cool, clean water run over the tips of his fingers.
"Ah,"
said Tim,
"that feels really good. I do so hate the feel of pee on my skin."
"How about some for me?"
Cooper put his hand out.
"Sure, pal."
Tim rinsed Cooper's fingers, avoiding eye contact with Captain Reynolds. He then poured the water over his own head.
"Nothing like a cool shower to beat the summer heat."
"We'd better get on our way,"
said Cooper.
"We got a lot of ground to cover."
Tim stoppered the decanter.
"That's true, and I certainly don't want to be around here once all this piss has been festering in the sun for a while. You gentlemen take care."
Cooper picked up his bag and let go of the chains, not taking his eyes off the two men in the wagon. But the fight had been pissed out of them. Captain Reynolds continued sobbing while his subordinate, who'd been spared most of the urine assault, merely shook his head in frustration. They hadn't made it 20 feet down the road when Tim heard what he was waiting for.
"Wait!"
Tim stopped walking and smiled to himself, but he didn't turn around.
"We saw your friends!"
That was worth turning around for.
"Where? Which way were they going?"
"We met them at the crossroads south of here," said Captain Reynolds. "They seemed unsure of their destination. They asked where the different roads led."
"And what did you tell them?"
"I'll tell you after you've washed the piss off of us."
Tim found it interesting that the captain's demands had been lowered from releasing them to just giving them a wash. He'd done the math and come to realize that was the best deal he was going to get. There's no way Tim and Cooper would unchain two armored soldiers they'd just drenched in piss. He was on the ropes. Tim turned back around and started walking again.
"Gods have mercy!" shouted Captain Reynolds. "Fine! Port Town is to the south, Elven Villages to the west, and Lighthouse Rock to the east! Please show some decency!"
Tim nodded to Cooper, who pulled out the decanter of endless water. Captain Reynolds put out his hands eagerly in a way that made Tim suspicious. His intentions became clear as Cooper started strolling right up to him.
"Cooper, stop!"
"Huh?"
Cooper turned around about 10 feet away from the rear of the wagon. Captain Reynolds looked panicky.
"We had a deal, halfling!"
"Shut up," said Tim.
He looked at Cooper.
"You big idiot! He was about to jump you and hold you hostage for the keys!"
"I was not!"
insisted Captain Reynolds. Cooper frowned thoughtfully.
"So, we're not gonna rinse him off?"
"Use the geyser setting, fucktard."
Cooper glared down at Tim, then aimed the mouthpiece of the decanter at Captain Reynolds.
"Geyser!"
Captain Reynolds, who'd been standing with his knees bent, still ready to pounce, was knocked off his feet by the torrent of water that smashed into his breastplate. Cooper spent a full 3 minutes showering the two men and the entire interior of the wagon until all of the piss had been either washed away or diluted. It may not have been their preferred outcome, but the captain and his subordinate eagerly took what they could get, positioning themselves to allow the water to flow into their armor and through their hair. As soon as Cooper deactivated the decanter, Captain Reynolds started running his mouth again.
"You sniveling cowards! I'll have your heads and the heads of all your friends! I won't stop until..."
"Geyser!"
said Cooper. Captain Reynolds got blasted in the face with a quick burst of water and fell back down on his ass.
"Are we done here?" asked Tim. "Good."
Tim and Cooper continued their journey southward in silence for a while. It was an uncomfortable silence because Tim was unsure of Cooper's mood. Time to test the waters.
"So, is that the sort of story we brag about later, or the sort we vow never to speak of again and pretend never happened?"
"It's the sort you can shove up your ass,"
Cooper said without even looking down at him. "Fuck."
"Is something the matter?"
"I'm tired of you calling me a fucktard."
"Aw, come on, man. Don't be such a crybaby. I was just busting your balls. We've been calling each other a fucktard since the third grade. That's what we do."
"I don't feel like you were just busting my balls."
"You're about to get us both killed."
"So there it is. You weren't just busting my balls."
Tim let out an extra exasperated sigh.
"Oh, I can't believe I'm hearing this from you of all people. The king of insults is angered because I called him a mean name. As if I don't have enough shit to deal with right now."
Cooper snorted.
"And once again, it all comes back to your problems."
"What the fuck, man?" cried Tim. "Did we get fucking married last night? When did you turn into a nagging wife?"
Cooper stopped walking.
"Hey, I just thought of something."
Tim looked up at him.
"Well, what is it?"
"Shut the fuck up."
Tim kept his mouth shut for a few minutes, even more uncomfortable in the silence. Cooper was pissed. Maybe he just needed some time or space or some bullshit. Tim could give him that after they'd taken care of a more practical matter.
"We should look at the other's character sheets. There might be some kind of clue as to where they've gone."
Cooper snarled, stopped walking, and dumped the contents of his bag onto the ground. They each picked up a scroll tube and opened it.
"I've got Catherine," said Tim. "Her stats look okay. She's still got the bag of holding and a bunch of dead rats and a dead owlbear. I guess she's eating well."
"I've got Julian,"
said Cooper.
"Full hit points. He's out of first level spells, but he's got some souvenir cups."
"Souvenir cups? From where?"
Cooper shrugged.
"Doesn't say. It just says souvenir cups with a number 2 after it."
He handed the paper to Tim and opened another tube. Tim looked at Julian's inventory. There they were, 2 souvenir cups.
"That doesn't sound very urgent. If he's shopping for souvenirs, he must have gotten Ravenous back."
"Dave bought a set of fishing lures."
"Seriously?" said Tim. "How are his hit points?"
"He's full."
Tim and Cooper looked through the rest of the tubes, finding everyone to be at 4th level, as they'd suspected, and in full health. Closing the scroll on his own tube, Tim smiled.
"Looks like everybody's in ship shape."
Cooper grunted.
"Jesus Christ, dude. When are you gonna let this go? I'm sorry, okay? We're best friends. Let's do a bro hug and put all this PMS shit behind us."
"I don't feel like best friends."
That stung more than it should have.
"How can you say that? We just peed on a man together. What stronger bond can two men have?"
Cooper looked at Tim.
"So what do you suggest we do?"
Let's go back to town, maybe pop into a pub for a celebratory drink.
Cooper threw all the scroll tubes angrily into his bag and stood up.
I knew you were going to say that.
Seriously, dude, what happened to you while I was out? Did you find Jesus and give up drinking?
Our friends could be in danger.
Tim laughed.
Danger? Our friends are sitting on some beach, fishing and drinking pina coladas in their goddamn souvenir cups.
Cooper didn't share Tim's mirth.
You don't know that. They went after Mordred. He could have them locked in a dungeon somewhere, and all you can think of is crawling back into a fucking bottle.
I can't believe you're giving me this lecture. You are the most degenerate, irresponsible drunk I've ever met.
Cooper folded his arms.
I don't abandon my friends.
Tim had had enough of this guilt trip bullshit. It was time to draw a line in the sand.
Fuck all this. You go and aimlessly wander the coastline all you want. I'm going back into town. By the time you finally pull your thick head out of your fat ass, your friends and I will be waiting for you back at the Horse's Head.
Fine, said Cooper. And fuck you.
He turned around and started stomping away. That wasn't the reaction Tim was hoping for. Served him right for trying to use reason with someone of such low intelligence. The big idiot was on a wild goose chase. While the others finished their little impromptu vacation, they'd come back, and he'd still be searching for them under rocks or something. But fuck him. He could learn this lesson the hard way. Still, Tim felt like he should say something.
Fuck you too!
He called out to Cooper's back, then started the hopefully not too long walk back to Cardinia.
Hey, asshole!
Cooper shouted a few seconds later.
Don't forget your character sheet!
That was actually a good point. Tim turned around and got hit in the forehead by a hard steel scroll tube. Cooper chuckled while Tim rubbed the floating lights out of his vision.
Motherfucker! Tim shouted. That hurt, you know!
Cooper just gave him the finger as he continued to walk away. When the pain subsided, Tim packed away his scroll tube and started walking back to the city. When he came to the bend in the road where the overturned wagon had been, he cut through the woods. He was in no mood to hear any more of Captain Reynolds' shit. To make sure he didn't actually get lost, he stayed close enough to the edge of the forest so that he could see the road, but deep enough in so that he was confident he wouldn't be seen. Among the trees, Tim felt much more aware of the potential danger he was in. He pulled out his dagger, but that did little to put him at ease. He stopped briefly to check out the overturned wagon. It was still there, the horses still tethered to the front. If any monsters chased him right now, he could make a run for it and hope his pursuer chose to eat the horses instead. He scanned the trees behind him. No monsters. Ah well, it was still a good plan. Now that he'd passed the wagon, Tim walked closer to the road and finally left the woods entirely. Strangely, he didn't feel any less scared. There wasn't anything containing the monsters and bandits to the forest. Something could jump out of the trees any moment and he'd be fucked. He walked for half an hour, jumping at the sight of every bird flying out of a tree in his periphery and the sound of every cricket chirp. When he saw an approaching horse-drawn cart, he allowed himself to relax a little. He could at least pretend he was relatively safe for the next couple of minutes. The driver was a heavyset human with a shaggy beard a dwarf might admire. In the seat next to him sat a heavy crossbow, no doubt to discourage those who might seek to relieve him of his wares. Wooden crates were stacked and secured with ropes in the back of the cart. When it got close enough, Tim could read the words Buckley's Summer Ale printed on the sides of the crates. A summer ale sounded like the perfect way to ease the rest of his journey. He didn't have any money to offer, but it never hurt to ask. Tim smiled up at the driver as he drew closer.
Spare summer ale for a weary traveler?
The driver spat in Tim's direction.
Spare this, runt!
He threw a fast food soda cup, which Tim was able to swat out of the air before it hit him in the face. Tim kicked some dirt at the wagon as it passed.
Screw you, man! Why does everyone in this stupid world have to be such an...
Where the fuck did he get a fast food soda cup? Tim got on his hands and knees and inspected the cup closely. This was no fantasy world cup. It even had a plastic lid and straw. He ran his finger along the inside. It was waxy. Rolling the cup over with that same finger, he nearly had a heart attack when he saw what was printed on the other side. Arby's. Tim picked up the cup and pulled the lid off. There was still a bit of watery brown liquid at the bottom. He poured it onto the tip of his tongue, then spat.
Blech! Fucking Pepsi!
Why was there an Arby's cup here? Would Mordred have put an Arby's in his fantasy world? No. He might be a fat, stupid asshole, but he took the game far too seriously to throw a modern fast food restaurant into his beloved creation. But what else could it be? Who else could have? Tim looked up toward the city.
Goosewaddle.